So, if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to read from Acts chapter 10. If you don't have your Bibles with you, we're still going to read from Acts chapter 10. But you're not going to be able to read along with us, so I might be making it up, which, let's be honest, isn't unheard of. So, maybe not so much in the Bible. I do try and read the Bible properly. I'm not cheating. Okay, that's fine. This week's been an interesting week, hasn't it? So it's been an interesting week for a whole variety of reasons. I mean, we've had another attack. Well, I suppose that was last week. Another attack, another incident. And all the things that kind of kick off as a result of that, the reaction, the kind of the anger, the kind of the indignation, the kind of, you know, how is this going on in our country, and you know, who are these people, and all the stuff that comes with that. We've had a fairly crazy election, which not many of us actually were able to. Well, I think everybody got it wrong in terms of the predictions, what was actually going to happen, and actually that's causing all sorts of division and difficulty, isn't it? As people kind of, both in the Scottish context, but also in the UK context, are trying to work out what on earth does that mean, where does that leave us, what's going on, and how do we deal with all of that kind of stuff. And then, of course, we had the disaster, which was the Scotland-England draw, which might not seem as important to you as it does to me, but I can assure you I am almost completely hoarse as a result of 5 minutes of shouting almost constantly at the television and then crying like a baby and moaning a lot last night about, I can't believe it, just every sort of like 5 minutes I went, I can't believe it. Dan's going, would you just shut up and stop with that? You know, anyway, there's all sorts of things. That's not an important thing. But there are all sorts of things, aren't there, that actually cause division and difficulty. There's all sorts of things that are causing cause us to actually kind of break in relationship with one another and work out what that is. And they are rife. You know, they're rife. There's lots of reasons for us not to get along. There's lots and lots of reasons for us not to actually be willing to kind of take time with other folks and do, you know, and actually that's increasing. It feels like, you know, it feels like just now people are just, you know, they don't need a lot of excuse to kind of hate one another and to attack one another. And we see that, don't we? We see that in our culture. We see that in our, we see that in our city. We see that in our country, and we see that all over the world. And I think that actually I wanted to talk about God's antidote to that kind of encounter, that kind of culture, that kind of experience, that kind of thing, and it's this: God's antidote to the kind of aggressive disagreeing and all the rest of it is this. He tells us to throw parties. Yeah, I know. You're kind of going, wait a minute, that's not what I thought you were going to say. But it is. It is. Do you know how God deals with division? God deals with isolation. God deals with anger. God deals with separation of people. God deals with misunderstanding that comes from not knowing about each other. What he does is he sort of says, I'm inviting you to a party. I'm inviting you to a party. I'm inviting you to come and have food with me, have a drink with me. We're going to talk. We're going to get to know each other. Do you know how easy it is to basically judge and criticize people that you don't know anything about? It's very easy. It's very easy. But it's quite difficult, actually, if you sat down and you found out their story, that you understand who they are, that you understand where they're coming from. You get it. You might not necessarily like them, but you do. But you can get it in a different kind of way. And there is a very strong thread in the whole of Scripture, and in particular in the life and teaching of Jesus, which says that the antidote to all of that isolationism and the kind of the criticism and the I'm over here and you're over there is to throw a party. And I want to say today that actually I would like us to start throwing more parties. Are you up for that? Let's have some more parties. Let's have some more. Let's do some more getting together, not just with one another, but with all sorts of people, with people that we don't know and that we perhaps don't even like at the moment, but people who God loves. And, you know, and I just want to sort of, and I know that it might sound ridiculous to sort of say, how do we deal with the, you know, with sort of like, how do you deal with ISIS? You have a party. You know, How do you deal with the kind of political shenanigans and all the, you have a party. Why is that? Why I realize that I might sound like a completely what counterintuitive kind of thing to say, but I want to say this, that actually that is how you break, that's how you break down the kind of divisions that cause the kinds of problems that we have. That's how you get across into other people's territory and begin to kind of go, right, I get you now. I get you now. I understand you now. I get you. I understand what you're all about. And how do I know that that's true? Well, I know that that's true because actually what Jesus was accused of is this. It was said of him, this man is a drunkard and a glutton and a friend of sinners. How did he get his reputation? He went to parties. He went to parties. Exactly. He went to parties. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, what you'll actually see is this. Jesus not only teaches this, but lives it out. We talked about Zacchaeus a couple of weeks ago. Perfect example. House full of people. You know, Jesus turns up. Not the sort of place that he should have gone. Not the sort of person he should have gone with. He breaks down the barriers. He changes the thing. And I want to sort of say that actually, you know, we think that actually somehow there's a really complicated answer to some of these kind of questions about how do we begin to actually make an impact on the people around about as well. And I just think, you know, if we as a church could actually, if we could get this nailed, if we could be known as a place that throws parties where people can be friends, I can assure you, we will make a huge impact. Huge impact. Jesus, the friend of sinners, the glutton and the drunkard, who got his reputation by going to parties that he shouldn't have been going to, doing things that he wasn't going to do. And you don't just sort of see it in terms of his activity, you see it in terms of his teaching as well. So what was, you know, story after story, full of parties. Jesus telling the story about the kind of the guy who threw a feast and invited everybody to come, and he sent out people to the kind of people that should have been coming to his party, and they all said, "I'm too busy." It's very telling that the religious, which is the people that he was talking about, are too busy. Man, how convicted am I about that? About my busyness that actually excludes me from building relationships and having parties. And I just, you know, and I've been thinking about that. Diane was sort of telling me earlier, we were in a conversation about whether or not we can have barbecues this summer. And she was sort of saying, and she was rightly pointing out that I am an introvert and that I don't actually, I need time away. I need time in my, you know, away from people and in my home. That's what introverts do. That's how we recoup and get more energy. But actually, you know, I just think, what on earth? You know, I'm missing the point. I'm missing the point when actually I kind of go, you know, I need to actually get more energy so I can go and do more ministry things, which mean I don't actually have time to invite you to my house for a barbecue. I can't actually build friendships and relationships with you. We've got it the wrong way around. I've got it the wrong way around. I'm quite convinced of that, actually. I've got it the wrong way around. And I feel quite convicted by that. Jesus talked about this invitation to this great banquet. And do you know what he sort of said? You know, if you can't get anyone who's supposed to be coming to come, go out and tell everybody else. And do you know what happens? They all say, free party, free food, free drink. I am there. Come on, let's go. They're the ones that don't get invited to things. And they were the ones that Jesus invited. And so he drew people in and he had those experiences. He talked about that. He talked about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, the story of the boy who ran away, did what he wanted, and then came back expecting that he would get a slap in the head and told to beat it. And instead, he received the love of the father, just open arms and a welcome, and his father threw a party to celebrate the fact that the boy was home. Jesus, again and again and again, talks about these times where actually he eats and drinks and is made merry with all sorts of people. But more than that, there was a depth to it as well. The last party or the last supper or, you know, where actually, the picture of them with Jesus in the middle and all the rest of them all lined up like that they had. And they're kind of like, oh. Anyway, and the food and the drink and the chat. Deep things, moments which are shared as we eat and we drink, and as Jesus was telling them that actually he was about to go to his father and that they were going to be commissioned, he was basically sort of saying, I'm about to go, it's on to you now, okay, you ready? Are you ready? And as he prayed that kind of like high priestly prayer that we get in John 15, 16, 17, where he talks about, where he asks his Father, you know, God, help them to be together. Help them be united. Help them not to be divided. They're so easily divided. Help them to be united. And actually, we find unity as we eat together, as we break bread together, as we talk together, as we share together. What's the antidote to all of, you know, to the kind of the divisiveness that we see around about us? It is to throw parties. And again, I just think during the summertime, it's a great time to do that, isn't it? You know, let's go out, let's get organized and get ourselves up to Loch Lomond for a few days. Let's go and do something that, let's spend time in each other's presence and just enjoy it. Probably the most important kind of party that was thrown, which really changed the whole of the kind of history of the church, was the one that happened in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius and Peter meeting together, and finally, Peter allowing the breaking out of the church into the Gentile community, out of the Jewish community, and out of the kind of patterns that they would have accepted. And Cornelius experiencing the Holy Spirit falling upon him and upon his household, and them being transformed. Let me just read parts of the story to you. So Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. In other words, he was a Roman, and he was a soldier, and he was an enemy of the Israelites, the Jewish people. And so that's who he was. And yet, it says, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Cornelius sent men to Joppa to bring back Simon, who was called Peter. And then about noon the following day, after he'd sent them to the thing, as they were on the journey and approaching the city, Peter went up onto the roof to pray. He became hungry, wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance, and God spoke to him, and he said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And he was shown a whole sort of bunch of things, which basically were things that, by his religion, he wasn't supposed to eat. And what happened was that while Peter was sort of thinking about all these things and experiencing all these things, he had a vision, which was that the men that he saw that were sent by Cornelius were actually at the gate. And so what happened was that Peter, while still in the thing, said, "Go down and let these guys in. Do not hesitate and go with them." And so in verse 21 it says, "Peter went down and said to the men, 'I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?' And so the men explained what had happened, and they went with him." And it says then that Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So in other words, he was preparing for a party. He'd invited all his pals. He'd invited all his friends, all his family. He got them all sorted out. He got the food in. He got the drink in. He was expecting. He was waiting for Simon Peter. He was ready for the party. And then in verse 34 it says this, "Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." And then verse 44, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message. Then Peter said, 'Surely no one can stand in the way of these ones being baptized in water. They received the Holy Spirit just as we have.' So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days." So what we have here is a move, a shift away from how the Jews related to the Gentiles. So basically, the Jews hated, weren't allowed to associate with the Gentiles. They weren't allowed to eat with them. They weren't allowed to do these things. And that was actually an expression of holiness. That was an expression of them being set apart for God. And what God was doing in this moment was he sort of said, all of that sort of stuff, all of the stuff about what you eat and who you eat it with and all the rest of it, that is now irrelevant. That's not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is whether or not actually you can connect heart to heart, and that the gospel, the good news, the message of our relationship with God is actually now no longer about eating and drinking and all the rest of it, but it's actually about how we connect with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, don't be worried about what you eat or drink, he says in Matthew 6. You know, it's not about that. It's about us connecting with God through him, accepting what he's done for us on the cross. So why is the party, why is that the antidote to a lot of the kind of division and divisiveness that we see around about us? Well, as I say, I think the first thing is because it is genuinely difficult for us to actually fight with people when we actually know who they are. So easy for us to sort of like, you know, to kind of call people names and to ostracize them and to kind of do all sorts of things when we do not know them, when we don't know their story and we don't know anything about them. It's easy for us just to categorize them and sort of say, that's who that is. And therefore, we're not going to have anything to do with them, or we can judge them and we can say whatever we want to say about them. And actually, when we eat and when we drink with people, when we actually connect with people heart to heart, when we sit with them and they sit with us and they tell us their story and we tell them our story, suddenly it's much, 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 much more difficult for us to actually kind of to find judgment in our hearts. And I think that that's one of the most important things, one of the most important things indeed. But I think what we actually sort of see also in this, particularly this story, but also the stories that Jesus told is this, that in the midst of partying, Christian partying, that's an interesting phrase, we'll come back to that, but Christian partying, what we see is a radical inclusiveness. Okay, a radical inclusiveness. Peter was sent to enemies of his country, people who were not his people, people who were in many ways opposed to him and oppressed his people. And God said, go to that person, because actually I'm working in their life. There is a radical inclusiveness that is at the heart of this instruction to break down the boundaries and the barriers that stop human beings connecting with one another. And we've spoken a lot in this place about the fact that actually that the church has got a reputation of sort of saying, you know, if you're not this, 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 and this, then you don't belong here. In fact, if you are this, 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 and this, then you definitely aren't allowed here. In fact, we will judge you if you even say anything about who you are, what you're about. But actually, what we find here in this message and in this, if you like, evangelistic strategy is this, that there is a radical inclusiveness. Everybody gets invited. Nobody is excluded. That's the whole story about Jesus talking about the kind of the banquet. You know, here's the people who should have been turning up. This one, this one, this one, this one. And they're sort of saying, I'm too busy. I can't be bothered with that. I've got other things to do. And then he said, so send it out. Send the invitation out to the ones that don't deserve it and actually aren't supposed to be invited. Send it to them. See what they say. And they rush into that place because this is the thing. People are hungry for that kind of fellowship, for that kind of inclusion, for that kind of community that actually is at the heart of what is being described here. And I'm being silly and sort of saying, in one sense, and sort of saying, you know, what's the antidote to all of that stuff? Well, it's parties. In one sense, I am, but in another sense, there's a deep-seated conviction that actually, if we do not have the ability to lead with embrace, to be able to open our arms as the father did to the prodigal, even though the prodigal, frankly, deserved to be slapped about the head, even if we are called to be like that father, we're called to look out for the ones who are on the horizon and run towards them, and not let them get a word out of their mouth that says, I know I don't deserve to be here. Instead, we are called to be those who simply say, I love you and it's just great to see you. Because it's the kindness of God that leads to people repenting. You know, it's not the judgment of Christians. And you know, there's something very significant about this, you know, that we just flip the switch, and we actually kind of get across to that place where we're sort of saying, you know, we are a community of grace, not a community of judgment. We're a community of radical inclusion, not a one that sort of says, you know, you can't come anywhere near us until you get your life sorted out. Because let's be honest, if that was true, none of us would be here. None of us would be here. Come on. So let's be honest about that. And then let's say, okay, so let's turn it out the way. Let's open our arms. Let's lead with embrace. Let's invite people to come. Let's take the time to say, it's party time. I want to come back to the Christian party thing. Dan and I, I've told you this story before. Dan and I went to a party once, which was a classic Christian party, where basically it was only Christians that were invited, and it was the most awful party. It was just boring, and it was boring for a whole variety of different ways. It was the most boring party. It was at the point where, you know that game, I don't know if you've ever played it, you probably played it when you're in primary school, because that's actually the only place it should be played, not at a party. It was the one where you kind of go, you know, you have this thing in your head that sort of says different characters, and you're not supposed to know what it is, and then you're supposed to guess. And, you know, by the time that the woman came round who was hosting the party to stick a sticky on my head with a thing that said Tigger or something like that, I was ready to punch her. I just thought, I cannot believe that this is actually happening. Can we now, you know, and I'm giving Diane the vibe that goes, can we leave? Anyway, and she's going, no, I'm not leaving. Okay, anyway. So after going to the toilet and finding a way of getting rid of the sticky, flush, I came back out again and I thought, I am going to sort this. So what then happened was that we'd gone into the kitchen, Dan and I had gone into the kitchen with one of our pals, Stuart, and basically Stuart McMenemy and I basically kind of started, some of you know Stuart, Stuart and I, we met some people that we didn't know, and so we kind of decided that Dan was kind of like in the background, and I sort of said, you know, nice to see, blah, 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 and then eventually we sort of said, yes, this is my wife, Dan, and she, and they went, and I don't know what it did in my head, but there was a moment in my head where I just went, I don't care, I've had enough of this, this is driving me crazy. So I said, she's the kind of therapist. And the people were kind of going, oh, that's lovely, and then, what kind of therapist is she? And I said, oh, a sex therapist. And she, you know, she helps people with, you know, sexual issues. And and now Stuart McMenemy, who I have to say is the most outrageous person I've ever met at these sort of things. Basically, I'm thinking I'm not going to keep this up for very long. I don't think I'm going to do this. But anyway, but he basically kept up for about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes or something like that. And Diane then started playing along, and she sort of said, yes, I have a number of different clients. And it's a very interesting field, you know. And then for about, for about 10 minutes, this guy, these people were kind of listening to us going, you know, because they were kind of thinking, this is a nice Christian party. We're going to play stupid games where you stick your thing in your head. No. We thought, we're not doing any of that. So we thought, we'll just have a bit of a laugh and see what happens. And so we never get invited back. Yes, you see? Success on two levels. One, humiliated and embarrassed the people there. Second, didn't get invited back. So that's not always a target that I have in parties. But anyway, sometimes, you know. Anyway, my point is this, that actually, when we're talking about parties, when we're talking about throwing, and I do want to encourage us to actually to throw some parties, to have some fun, to actually get out there and make connections. But please, let's not do that awful thing where we actually do Christian parties, you know. It's like, ah, stop it. You know, you want to make my ears explode and my eyes bleed, you know, because of the nonsense that happened at these things. So let's actually have a bit of a laugh. Let's enjoy ourselves. Bit of music, a nice candle in the toilet, because people, you know, need the comfort of knowing that it's going to be okay. Some food, some drink. If you don't understand, I'll explain later. Some food, some drink, and you got to work out what you do with the drink in terms of the alcohol, non-alcoholic thing. Again, I just want to sort of say, Jesus said, you know, do not worry about food and drink. You know, we need to kind of just let people work that out. We need to be sensitive. I know a number of us are dealing with recovery, and you know, we're having to deal with all that sort of stuff. But you know, actually, there are some places where it is appropriate for us just, you know, to have a glass of wine, and that's okay, and that's fine, whatever. But my point is this: let's just have fun. Let's enjoy each other's company. Let's not just enjoy each other's company. Let's start inviting some people to our houses. Let's actually kind of invite our friends and our families and our colleagues and our neighbors. And, you know, let's invite, and invite some of the guys from church as well. But let's not aim to, you know, please let me be very clear. The purpose of having a party is to make friends, not anything else. It's not, please do not write verses on napkins. You know, I've got somehow to subtly kind of, I've got to pass on the Christian message, otherwise it's not a Christian party. Stop it. Just stop it right now, okay? God is able to sort all that kind of stuff out. You don't need to worry about it. You pray about it before, and then invite them and have a lovely time. Make some friends and watch what God will do. Because as we are willing to share our lives, as we are willing to build friendships, as we are willing to have a radical inclusiveness, as we lean in and lead with embrace, just watch and see. God will bring those who need to know his love and who actually quietly will go for a wee walk with us and find a wee corner in the party and sort of say, I know that you pray, would you pray about this? I don't pray. I'm going to say a word to the big man about whatever it is. All that kind of stuff. And we don't need to make a thing about it, but because God's just going to do it. Okay. So, my challenge to myself mostly, but for all of us, is, you know, let's throw a party. Maybe that'll be quite a lot of parties. But let's throw a party, and you know, so over the next month, challenge you. Throw a party. Have a barbecue. Go to Loch Lomond and don't just invite your friends and take your family, but actually take some other folks, you know. Let's organize ourselves. Let's actually just have a bit of life and fun as we do that. Because actually the world is full of hate and division and barriers and problems, and actually we have the answer. We really do. We have the answer. And he is right there with us when we have our parties. And he's able to break down any barrier that, you know, anyone has ever set up. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for just for your warm embrace. We thank you that when we come to you, that we know that we're accepted, that we're loved by you, that we're not rejected, that you don't look at us and see us for what we are. You see us instead through the eyes of Jesus, and you see us for what we are going to be. And so instead of rejecting us, you lean in, you lead with embrace, you call us by name, you draw us into that wonderful, wonderful experience of your love, and you throw us a party, and you say, here is my son, here is my daughter, my precious ones. We're so grateful for that, Lord God, because if it wasn't for that, then we wouldn't be able to live. We wouldn't be able to have the peace that you give to us. We wouldn't be able to do the things that you call us to. And so, Lord God, we just want to pray that as we think about just what it means for us to follow Jesus, who had a reputation as a drunkard and a glutton and a friend of sinners, you know, Lord, we want to be known as people who have parties, as people who make friends, as people who love the folks that don't get invited normally, as people who are willing to say, okay, you know, I'm going to open my life up. And Lord, I confess that actually there's times in this last wee while that I just feel as though I've been closing my life down. I've actually been, you know, wanting to kind of like exclude and make space and protect myself. And so, Lord God, I ask that you'd forgive me. But Lord, if there's anything that for us, I ask that you'd forgive us, Lord, from that place of just of not making space in our life for others. So, Lord God, we ask, would you come now, and would you release just the ability, not just simply to hear this message and to kind of go, yeah, that's right, and to affirm that actually that's what we should be doing. But Lord God, I want to pray that you would lay before us a conviction, lay in our hearts a conviction, Lord God, that we would open our lives to one another and to those who as yet are not part of our life. And that we're going to do something practical about that. You know, that we'll run a barbecue, we'll run a, you know, whatever it is, have a meal. So, Lord God, would you do this, I pray? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.